बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
सो द सिंगिंग ऑफ द महामंत्र especially in this age is most important because it repeatedly gives us a chance to fall at the feet of Krishna and Radharani alternately again and again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So whatever philosophy we learn from the Bhagavatam, when you chant Mahamantra, you will digest it. And gradually by Krishna's grace, all the knowledge will become turned into realization. So where were we? So 12th verse, 21, 12th verse. Somebody read the translation, 12th verse. Okay, we finished 10th one. 10th verse we read. 11, 12 you can read translation. 11 and 12 translations, yeah.
The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, "My dear Vidur, King Prithu lived in a tract of land between two great rivers, Ganga and Yamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. Maharaj Prithu..."
Yeah, what is the meaning of diminish? Like sometimes... the king lives a very opulent life because it's coming in a family like that. Like our Rishikesh Mafatlal, he has a big bungalow, very close to our Chaupari temple. Now, in case he says, "I want to be a simple devotee," if he gives up that bungalow and lives in a small 2 BHK flat, so should he live like that? Or should he continue to live in a very posh bungalow with plenty of cars and a huge compound and everything? So once his spiritual master told him that by your past punya and everything, you have got this type of lavish lifestyle which is coming in a family. And if you suddenly take off from this and take a 2 BHK flat near temple and live, then it will create disturbance in the family. Correct, no? What will the brothers think? What will parents think? My son, in the name of becoming a devotee, he is rejecting all the opulences of the family. So the... Therefore, sometimes the kings and great devotees, not to disturb the general masses and to set an example for the general masses, they live in the midst of opulences without attachment. So they may continue to live in the same bungalow, they may have many cars, but they may live without attachment. So in that way, the king also, Prithu, accepted. Sometimes, for example, some congregation devotee has purchased a new car. He wants to take a brahmachari from the temple to program. His wife has told him, "It's a new car. Before we go in the car anywhere, you get one sadhu from the temple. You know, you will thank." And then if you are a brahmachari, you say that, "No, we are sadhus. We only travel in omni car, dabba car. No, we don't like to travel in your big posh car. What will the people think of me?" So that becomes a phalgu vairagya, correct, no? It's phalgu vairagya. Okay. Whatever Krishna arranges, you accept it in your way. And in case repeatedly such a favors are coming, you may sometimes say, "You know, it may not be good for me." So sometimes the past punya will bring forth comforts for us in this life. You get nice food, you have a handsome body, you are very intelligent, or you get nice comforts like a nice place to stay and nice clothes you may wear, and people may talk nice, sweet talks with you. So all this is because of the punya of the previous life. So as life takes you through the results of your punya, you don't become attached to them, you don't reject them, but just accept them as they come, and then engage as many of them as possible in Lord's service, if you can. And go on, just observe them and engage them in Lord's service and go on without trying to artificially reject them or becoming attached to them. Is that clear? So that's what he is saying, that he was very opulent. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. Similarly, if somebody insults us, or chastises us or something, we get broken down, we feel very sad. But actually we should feel happy. Why? Some of our past negative reactions are getting exhausted. Nice, no? Say if I have, you know, say plus 200 and minus 100. So plus 200 is coming in the form of comforts, luxuries and many, many things. That is getting diminished. Similarly, somebody insults me from minus 100, it will become minus 80. Huh? So that also we should be happy. Oh, thank you, Prabhu. You have released my some of my sinful quota. You have released. So you can be happy about that also, correct? So both sukha, dukkha will come in this world. And the situations around us will exhaust our punya and exhaust our papa. The only thing that is inexhaustible is bhakti. Yeah. See, in the middle of that purport, Prabhupada is saying, the words arabdhan eva mean, about 10-12 lines from the purport, arabdha eva mean as if achieved by past deeds. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, there was no question of reaction to past deeds. And thus the word eva is used here to indicate the comparison to ordinary persons, like that he says. Yeah. It's good. 12th verse, translation.
Maharaj Prithu was an unrivaled king and possessed the scepter.
Scepter is the rod, ruling rod, yes.
For ruling all the seven islands on the surface of the globe. No one could disobey his irrevocable orders, but the saintly persons, the brahmanas, and the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vaishnavas.
Purport?
Saptadvipa refers to seven great islands or continents on the surface of globe. Asia, Europe, Africa, North America, South America, Australia and Oceania. In the modern age, people are under the impression that during the Vedic period or the prehistoric ages, America and many other parts of the world had not been discovered. But that is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj ruled over the world many thousands of years before the so-called prehistoric age. And it is clearly mentioned here that in those days, not only were all the different parts of the world known, but they were ruled by one king, Maharaj Prithu. The country where Prithu Maharaj resided must have been India, because it is stated in the 11th verse of this chapter that he lived in a tract of land between the river Ganges and Yamuna.
Ganga and Yamuna both are in North India, correct? Na? Ganga is coming from Gangotri down. Like we saw Ganga where? When we went to Rishikesh and Haridwar. There Ganga is flowing and Yamuna is flowing in Vrindavan. So, in between some tract of land he must have lived. Yeah.
This tract of land, which is called Brahmavarta, consists of what is known in the modern age as the portions of Punjab and northern India. It is clear that the kings of India once ruled all the world and that their culture was Vedic. The word Askalita indicates that orders by the king could not be disobeyed by anyone in the entire world. Such orders, however, never issued to control saintly persons or the descendants of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. The Supreme Lord is known as Achyuta and Lord Krishna is addressed as such by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Senayor Ubhayor Madhe Ratham Sthapaya Me Achyuta. Achyuta refers to one who does not fall because he is never influenced by the modes of material nature. When a living entity falls down to material world from his original position, he becomes Chyuta, which means that he forgets his relationship with Achyuta.
The next paragraph, proposing material designations.
Material designations create differentiation in terms of caste, color, creed, nationality, etc. Different gotras or family designations are distinctions in the terms of material body. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he immediately becomes one of Achyuta gotra or descendants of Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus becomes transcendental to all considerations of caste, creed, color and nationality. Prithu Maharaj had no control over the Brahmana Kula, which refers to learned scholars in Vedic knowledge, nor over the Vaishnavas, who are above the considerations of Vedic knowledge.
And then he quotes that Archie Vishnu Shiladir, Guru Shinaramathir and everything. And then the next paraprabha says, from the facts presented in this verse, it appears that the people in general should be controlled by a king until they come to the platform of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, who are not under the control of anyone. Brahmana refers to one who knows Brahman, an impersonal future of absolute truth. The Vaishnava is one who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So read the thing. our theme.
King's order could not be disobeyed by anyone except the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas.
So in the last part of the Prabhupada says the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are under the control of no one. Correct, now he says. Another point we learnt is that the king was controlling the subjects with law, state law and everything. But the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas were not controlled by the king, it is said. Why is it so? For example, our Mother Teresa is given freedom to travel in any train, you know, go by flight, all free of cost. You know that? She has that type of freedom is given for her because she's doing some social service to India. She came to Calcutta and she started a hospital. She thought that leaders are not doing anything, so I will do. So she started the leprosy patients who are treated by her. She started in a small way and then it became a very huge activity eventually over a period of time. And government of India saw that she is doing a lot of welfare activity for our citizens. So eventually her activities went on for a long time. So they gave this freedom for her. Similarly, MLAs, MPs, they have cars which have a bulb at the top. You seen that? So they can break all the signal. You know that? They can go on the right side. They can break signal and they can go. And they can go in a road where it's one way. They can go both ways also. How many of you know this? Only half of them know it. Actually, they have their MLA, MP, CM, PM. They all have such freedom given by the country. Because they are considered to be the great well-wishers of the country. Supposed to be. Supposed well-wishers. So, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are the most renounced people and they are famous for their detachment and renunciation. They give up everything. The only thing they hold on to is Lord's lotus feet. Chanting, dancing, studying Shastra and Loka Kalyan. You know, that is the only business they do. So, seeing that the kings consider them as good as God, we say Sakshat Haritvena Samastha Shastra. Ideally speaking, for all ISKCON sannyasis and gurus, all flights should be free for them. All trains, flights, everything, wherever they go. In fact, the Indigo and all the Air India should be feeling very fortunate that the Maharaja is traveling in that plane. Of course, that will happen when the king of the country is a Vaishnava also. And he will request, Maharaj, you come in my flight. You know, I will arrange it. Please come in Indigo. And Air India will say, Maharaj, come in our flight. And will they charge them for any cost for the flight? They won't charge. But unfortunately, what has happened? All over the world, multiple religions have come. And most of the so-called religions are bogus, like Indra's followers. Correct, no? Indra started heretic religions. So they are their followers. So the leaders, like the Prime Minister and all, are confused. Who is real sadhu and who is not? Because if he gives such freedom for one sadhu, what will happen? Another 99 fellows will line up. And they will all wear the dress of sadhu and say, we also want free ticket. Correct, no? In Vedic times, it was impossible to do such things. As soon as there was an imposter, he was knocked out immediately from the system. Because the Vedic system was in every home. In every home, in every temple, in every palace, and kings were also faithfully following it. So, in this way, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are considered like, they always do upakar, paropakar, always. That is one reason why the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas were not put under the law. Another reason why the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas need to be subjected, they are already following the word. Why do they need a sword? Correct? Now, you know this fellow, our Mandukamuni, you know, he was victimized. I mean, he was one time Mandukamuni was sitting outside his ashram, some thief ran inside. And Mandukamuni didn't see. He was probably absorbed in his meditation or something. And the police constables came. They went inside and caught hold of 2-3 thieves and they brought them out. And they thought that because he is giving them refuge, he must be the leader of the thief. They thought like that. They took Mandukamuni also. And along with them, they arrested him also. Mandukamuni was a great sage and realized sage. When he went to the king, as soon as king saw, along with the rogues and rascals, there is also a sage. He chastised the ministers and said, hey, release him. How can you bring a Brahmana? He is not punishable. You cannot put a handcuff him like this. It's improper. Then immediately he was released and king fell at his feet and sought forgiveness. I'm sorry. And Mandukamuni was so powerful, he made a phone call to Yamaraj. Hey, Yamaraj, what is this going on in my life? And Yamaraj immediately called Chitragupta and looked at the account, and he said, sir, in your childhood, you know, you had caused some harm to some insects. Therefore, now, you know, the police constable showed the lance on your chest. Of course, they didn't pierce him. They were threatening him to pierce him. You are about to be put in that changa kind of thing. So Yamaraj said, then Mandaka Muni said, hey, you have given me a punishment which I don't deserve, because the children are not punishable till 7 or 8 years, something like that. There is some rule, policy is there. In for Yamaraj also has a policy. So he said that such childhood proclivities are not punishable. They are innocent. But because you gave a result for a you gave improper punishment for an act. So you have you have fallen from your position. So he said, I curse you to become a Shudra, he said. And then from Yamaraj became who? Vidura, yeah. But actually this story is connected to another desire of Yamaraj. What was Yamaraj's desire? He wanted some freedom from management, correct? No? He wanted to go and just practice devotional service. So he became Vidura. So very amazing. He was cursed to become a Shudra, but that Shudra is who? Vidura. Very learned and wise and pure devotee of Krishna. Then Yamaraj. And then Krishna was thinking, Hare, this fellow wanted to practice pure devotional service and is hearing all politics. Where? In the Asat Sabha. Correct now? Along with, you know, Duryodhana, Dushasana, Karana and all these people. Then Krishna created an awkward situation by internal potency, by which Vidura could be asked to quit the palace. Then he could do what he wanted to do. Understand? But why did I tell you this? When Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are victimized by Yamaraj or by any king unreasonably, like the way he did. Now Ashwatthama is also a Brahmana. He was arrested and brought, you know, to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Draupadi was very sentimentally falling at his feet and saying, he's a Brahmana's son, Guru's son, you should not arrest him and all that. But then Yudhishthira and other people didn't say that, you know, he should not be brought. I mean, he should not be handcuffed and brought like an animal, which Arjuna did, captured him and brought him. Because he didn't act like a Brahmana. Correct, no? Ashwatthama didn't act like a Brahmana. He acted very mischievously and also killed 5 children of Draupadi also. So, when a Brahmana fails to act like a Brahmana, then the Shastras operate no more on him. Then what operates? Shastra. Then Arjuna captured him and brought him, tied him up and brought him. But one who is already following Shastra, does he need a Shastra? This is the logic. You understand, no? Like now our Manduka Muni already is following Shastra, and to show him Shastra is inappropriate. Correct, no? So in this way you find that in the Vedic times there is another reason, third reason why the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas were not controlled. Because they were controlling the Rajakulam by their advice. So there is called Brahma Tejas and there is Kshatra Tejas. Vishwamitra had Kshatra Tejas. His earlier name was Kaushik Raja. So when Raja Kaushik went to the forest, he was doing balatkar to take away the cow, Kamadhenu cow, from whom? Vasishtha. At that time, Vasishtha, Kamadhenu cow, Shabala, she told Vasishtha, oh, Brahmana, how can you let me be dragged away by a Kshatriya king like this? Then Vasishtha said, what can I do, Shabala? I am a Brahmana. I don't know how to save you. At that time, Shabala told him, you know, you don't have to use your Bahubalam to save me. You bless me and give me permission that I can, you know, go against the king. And I can protect myself. So in this way, Shabala, that Kamadhenu, took permission from Vasishtha. Vasishtha said, I give you full blessing. You have full freedom. Do whatever you need to defend yourself. Then Kamadhenu released soldiers from her eyes, from her mouth, from her anus, from different portions of her body. Different soldiers came out and all attacked Kaushik Raja along with his army and defeated them thoroughly. At that time, this fellow understood, Vishwamitra, that Brahma Tejas is very powerful. And then there Vasishtha sat and did yajna. So he thought he understood. He is doing yajna and Kamadhenu is getting all powers. Brahmanas are very powerful. Then Vishwamitra said, I will also become Brahmana. Correct, no? Then he went and actually that time he didn't become Brahmana. You know what he did? He went back and brought a huge army with him. And he also performed some penance to get some weapons also, celestial weapons and all. And then he came back to attack. This time he said, this time I won't pull your cow, but I will attack you. Who? Vasishtha. When he threw all the weapons, Vasishtha took his staff. You know the staff? You know, stick like this. With that he attacked, you know, he kept like this. All the weapons went inside that. He consumed hundreds and thousands of weapons. And Vishwamitra was like shocked. Arey, this fellow's power is so much. How is he able to hold everything? What is inside this staff? We didn't know. That was his. So that time, Vishwamitra said, he said, oh, this fellow is very mighty. I am like a lion, this fellow is like a squirrel. But the squirrel can go to the topmost portion of the tree, which lion cannot go. So then he said, Brahma Tejas is better than Kshatra Tejas. So I will become Brahmana now. Then to become Brahma Rishi, he performed severe penance. And then Brahmaji came and said, now you will be called as a Raja Rishi. He said, oh, useless, what Raja Rishi. No. And then Brahma said, you have to do more penances. And after a lot of thousands of years of penances, then Brahma came and said, now you are Maharishi, he said. He said, oh, that is also useless. I want to become Brahma Rishi. Brahma said, that's very challenging. And not only that, he said, I have to be called as Brahma Rishi from the mouth of Vasishtha only. Not only Brahma, you have to say, you have to convince that fellow to say, I am Brahma. And actually he becomes Brahma Rishi when he goes to Dushyanta's palace. When Dushyanta is unable to recognize his daughter Shakuntala, that time he is folding his palm and bending his head and begging him, please kindly marry this daughter. At that time he becomes humble. And also when he creates that Trishanku Swarga, when he is unable to control it, when he creates a Trishanku Swarga, that time he is calling out Lord Hari, then Hari comes. From that point of time he understood the glory of bhakti. Then he becomes a bhakta later. But the point is, the brahmana's prowess is actually due to the brahmana's backed up by Supreme Lord. Therefore, you know that verse? Arakshamana striya ur vibalan shochasyato purushadairi vartan vacham devi brahma kuleku karmani. Like that, this is the third line says, vacham devi brahma kuleku karmani. So what it says, the Brahma Kulam, when it becomes subordinate to Kshatriya Kulam, that is the downfall of Vedic culture, he says. Which means what? If Brahmanas study material education and become servant of the economic lords working in companies, then they are using their Brahminical intelligence, which is supposed to study Shastra, but they are working in a company and earning a salary, they become Shudras. Like that, Brahma Kulam. And also working as a Brahmana priest in the palace of a king is also condemnable actually. That is also not glorified. A Brahmana should not accept any salary at all. Brahmana should actually be living on charity only. Charity means you don't know tomorrow. You know, who will give me food? You don't know. Who will give me facility? You depend on God. Then only Brahmana gets Brahma Tejas. Power he gets. So the cow and bull discussion they are saying, Vacham Devi Brahma Kuleku Karmani. The Brahmanas have become... Therefore, Brahmana, it is said that the Kshatriyas should respect Brahmanas. Why they respect? Because Brahmanas don't take any money and they don't take any salary. The Brahmanas are not attracted to the allurements of this world. Their only business is God. So Kshatriyas surrender to them. And also Brahmanas and Vaishnavas act as advisors to the king. Correct, no? They act as advisors, they give advice. So one who is giving advice, is he not supposed to be superior to the king? Then can they be controlled by the king? If king says, hey Brahmana, come, I am opening a liquor shop in the middle of the city. Please come and inaugurate it, chant some mantras. Will Brahmanas do? It's a get lost rascal. Therefore, Vena king was dethroned by the Brahmanas. When the kings want to do nonsensical activities, the Brahmanas will not support it. If a king is becoming corrupt, then the Brahmanas will tell the truth. Because Brahmanas can tell the truth. Brahmanas are so powerful that they will not fear their life also. For example, Drishtadyumna was born from fire along with Draupadi. And his father, who is his father? Drupada. Sent him for tuition to whom? For learning all archery. At that time only Dronacharya knew, this is a person who is going to kill me in future. But because he has come and taken shelter in my ashram, I will train him. So he trained him and sent back, later on he kills him. Can you imagine? How much detachment they have? Can you imagine? Imagine if you know this, will you train a person? This fellow will grow up and he will kill me. Will you allow him? So because the Brahmanas were so detached, therefore they were so powerful also. They were free from envy. One more point is said, there is one verse which I showed before. I'll show you again. Yeah, I will recite this verse. Please repeat this. Ye asuyan ritadambayesha. Ye asuyan ritadambayesha. Himsamana vivarjitaha. Na tesham satyashilanam. Ashisho vifalaha krataha. He's saying those Brahmanas who are free from asuya means envy, anrita means untruthfulness, drita means truth, anrita means untruthfulness. That means a Brahmana who never tells lies, a Brahmana who is never envious, and one who has no dambha, is not falsely proud. Brahmana should not say that we are the higher caste, everyone else is lower caste. He should not have that pride, dambha. And irsha means grudge. He doesn't have any grudges towards any living entity. Himsa means being disturbed by the opulence of others. So a Brahmana should not be disturbed by the opulence of another Brahmana. And mana vivarjitaha, he should be completely devoid of false prestige. If you have a Brahmana having these qualities, then na tesham satyashilanam ashisho vifalaha krataha. Such a Brahmana's blessings will never go in vain. That means sometimes people, many congregation devotees bring their child and say, please bless my child, bless my child. You touch their child's head and say, Krishna Matirastu. Then your ashirvad will never go in vain, provided you have these five qualities. You know? So, that means we're free from envy, untruthfulness, false prestige, grudges towards others, and we should not be disturbed by the opulences and abilities of others, and we should be free from false prestige. You know where this comes? Nanda Baba saw that Shakatasura made a big noise and everything. Krishna kicked the Shakat and all that. So that time Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda, I will call now special Brahmanas, who are powerful Brahmanas, who are leaders of all Brahmanas. So I will get them, and to them I am going to give charity now. If they give blessing to our child will never be in danger. Like that he said. Then he called those special Brahmanas and he gave charity to them. Nanda Baba gave that time. There this verse comes. Because when they give, this is 10.7.13. Nice, no? So now we can understand why Brahmanas are not punishable. You understand, no? A person who is free from grudges, free from opulence of others, one who doesn't chase after any material enjoyment, how can they be punished? In fact, if they are punished, Lord says, I will take offense. Like Ambarish Maharaj was punished by Durvasa. Lord took offense. Lord sent Choshan Chakra to attack Durvasa. Therefore, the king did not control the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. On the contrary, these Brahmanas and Vaishnavas could tell the king, hey, my dear king, this is right, this is wrong, you should do this, you should not do that. They could say like that. And they were never attached to money or followers. So they had no fear to tell the truth. Generally, in the modern times, what happens? Imagine, like one fellow comes to one temple, and this fellow is having some affair with a college girl apart from his wife. You know, he's talking to her on phone, sometimes meets her. Now, you know, imagine if he is coming to the temple also, and he's not chanting and all, but he's a visiting type of person. Maybe chanting one or two rounds something. But he gives big sum to the temple. He gives like, you know, monthly 50,000 rupees. He's giving. So the temple people are very happy. So the temple devotee comes to know that this fellow is doing this wrong thing. He goes to wrong places. And this donor is thinking that if I give this money to the temple, then my sinful reactions will be eradicated. So I can have, because he's a very rich man, I can have my wife and he has two children also. And I can have affair with another girl also. So, and the sadhu in the temple, he is controlled by this fellow's donation. So he's afraid to tell him. So this sadhu asked me one time, Prabhuji, this fellow is doing this wrong thing. What should I do? I said, you should tell him. I told him, if you can't tell, I can tell him if you tell me. We both can tell together. I told him. We can tell the Shastra. We can tell him that, Prabhu, this is absolute nonsense. Unacceptable. You already have two children. You have a wife. This is illicit sex. And and we will show you in 5th canto where will you go, huh? If you do this, what type of punishment is awaiting you? He said, no, Prabhuji, if I tell him this, then he will stop his donation. He will get upset with me. Then I told him, then you are not a sadhu. Then you become a dongi sadhu. Huh? Dongi sadhu means you collect money and you eat that money, and you have no tongue to speak the truth. Then you don't become a special brahmana. You become useless. You know, you become a brahma bandhu. You understand, no? So therefore, or else you can do one more thing. You can cut off your connection with him. Tell him that, Prabhu, don't give your donation because your reaction will come on me. Because I am. Sometimes one boy came to Prabhupada with a girl, and this boy's idea was he wanted to tell the girl that the Swamiji, I am going to the Swamiji time. I am a good boy, so you can put trust in me. So he wanted to win the trust of the girl, and Prabhupada thoroughly rejected him. Prabhupada saw this fellow was hanging around just to earn the trust. And Prabhupada clearly told the girl, this fellow never comes here. He just, you know, and he chastised the boy also. Because Prabhupada understood he is using me. He wanted to use Prabhupada as a sadhu to win the trust of the girl, and then he will impregnate her and run away. Correct, no? So sometimes people use sadhu also. So sadhu should never agree to get used. So these Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, whom he is saying, they can never be used because they are so detached. See, detached people cannot be used. Worst come worst, you can kill them, and they are not afraid of death also. Like you see Jadabharata, they are putting a sword on his neck to kill him. He is very cool. He is just chanting Lord's names. Then what else can you do with them? If they are not afraid of losing their life also, so therefore, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who are detached and true sadhus, genuine sadhus, they only can do good to society. You see, and kings thought of them to be as good as God only. Kings would keep their crown on the feet of those Brahmanas. Then where is the question of controlling those Brahmanas, tell me? Yeah. So now itself I have told you some glories of Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, which Prithu will tell later. It will come. Yeah. Let's go to the next verse. What was that verse number? 13. Now keep on reading the translations quickly.
Once upon a time.
Up to 20 you can read, yeah.
Once upon a time, King Prithu initiated the performance of a very great sacrifice in which great saintly sages, brahmanas, demigods from higher planetary systems and great saintly kings known as Raja Rishis all assembled together. In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu first of all worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of assembly and it appeared that full moon had arisen amongst the star.
See, even demigods came. Sages, brahmanas, rishis, I mean, demigods. They are, even from higher planetary systems they came. So, Maharaj appeared like what? Like a full moon surrounded by stars. Yeah. Read the purport, first 4 lines.
According to Vedic system, the reception of a great exalted personalities as arranged by Prithu Maharaj in that great sacrificial arena is very important. The first procedure in receiving guests is to wash their feet, and it is learned from Vedic literature that one time when Maharaj Yudhishthir performed Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna took charge of washing the feet of visitors. Similarly, Maharaj Prithu also arranged for proper reception of demigods, the saintly sages, brahmanas, yeah, and great kings.
Yeah, go ahead, next one, 15.
King Prithu's body was tall and sturdy, and his complexion was fair.
Now, from this verse onwards, the description about how King Prithu looked like, how he was dressed, and how... So, whenever somebody is an avatara, incarnation, he is also a Shaktyavesh avatar. He is a jiva, but highly empowered jiva. So, their external body appearance is also described, given importance. Like, for example, there is a big collection of Prabhupada's photos, if you have seen. There are more than 10,000-20,000 photos of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada in different poses. So, devotees generally in ISKCON use different photos of Prabhupada when they want to convey different quotes. In PPTs they use. Prabhupada is saying, morning program is important. You put like this, big Prabhupada, correct, no? And there are pictures of Prabhupada in a relaxed mood, correct, no? So, how many of you derive inspiration from different poses of Prabhupada? Correct, no? Therefore, the description is given of why, how the king looked like. That also gives a lot of inspiration. Therefore, there is an inspiration from Vani, but there is inspiration from vapu also, from the body also. So many times devotees, seeing the conviction and determination of Prabhupada, they, all their nonsense was evaporated simply by his association. Similarly, the king's bodily description is given. Read it. Again read it, the 15th one.
King Prithu's body was tall and sturdy, and his complexion was fair. His arms were full and broad, and his eyes as bright as rising sun. His nose was straight, his face very beautiful, and his personality grave. His teeth were set beautifully in his smiling face.
Next.
The chest of Maharaj Prithu was very broad. His vest was very thick, and his abdomen, wrinkled by the lines of skin, resembled in construction of a leaf of a banyan tree. His navel was coiled and deep. His thighs were golden hue, and his instep was arched.
Very detailed, huh? Yes, next.
The black slick hair on his head was very fine and curly, and his neck, like a conch shell, was decorated with auspicious lines. He wore a very valuable dhoti, and there was a nice wrapper on the upper part of his body. As Maharaj,
like angavastra kind of thing, because he is going to take part in a sacrifice now. In sacrifice, you don't wear the upper garment. You wear pujaris wear the chadar kind of thing. Yeah, yes.
As Maharaj Prithu was being initiated to perform the sacrifice, he had to leave aside his valuable dress, and therefore his natural bodily beauty was visible. It was very pleasing to see him put on a black deer skin and wear a ring of kusha grass on his finger, for this increased the natural beauty of his body. It appears that Maharaj Prithu observed all regulative principles before he performed the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Just to encourage the members of assembly and to enhance their pleasure, King Prithu glanced over them with the eyes that seemed like stars in a sky wet with dew. He then spoke to them in a great voice.
So, Prithu is the leader of all the janta, praja. He is looking lovingly upon all his praja. And also another thing you notice here is he followed all the regulative principles very meticulously, like doing achaman and wearing the particular type of wrapper, cover, dress. Whatever the Brahman has guided him, how the puja and everything should be done, he was dressed accordingly. Now, this is a famous verse, the 20th verse. We'll recite it. Charu chitra padam shlakshnam mrishtam gudam abiklavam sarvesham upakarartham tada anuvadan niva charu. Beautiful. Chitra padam, flowery. Shlakshnam, very clear. Mrishtam, very great. Gudham, meaningful. Aviklavam, without any doubt. Sarvesham upakarartham, just to benefit all. Tada, at that time, anuvadan, began to repeat. Eva, like. So these are the lakshanas of a good speech. If any of us want to give a good speech, we can learn from Prithu Maharaj. Read the translation. How should one give a speech?
Maharaj Prithu's speech was very beautiful, full of metaphorical language.
You know, metaphorical language means examples, analogies, comparisons, that kind of thing. Yes?
Full of metaphorical language, clearly understandable and very pleasing to hear. His words were all grave and certain. It appears that when he spoke, he expressed his personal realization of the absolute truth in order to benefit all who were present.
Yeah. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says in second line, his words, which were nicely composed in high metaphorical ornamental language, were pleasing to hear and were not only mellow but also very clearly understandable. Because sometimes somebody may speak sweetly and softly. It's like a lullaby for a sleeping child. You know, it's like, my mother says lullaby, you know that? And the child will go to sleep. Similarly, somebody is very sweetly, softly speaking. Audience may, you know, smoothly go to sleep. Correct, no? His speech was not only like nice, mellow, it was clearly understandable also to the people. What he is saying, it was clearly understandable. and without any doubt or ambiguity. Why? Because he spoke with realization, he says. You see, in our speech also to people, if somebody, imagine some speaker is having eyes closed, eyes are shut up, and is speaking in a monotone, the soul is different from gross and subtle coverings, and the gross body is made up of five elements, and the subtle body is made up of three elements. So when one speaks in a monotone and his eyes are closed, he quotes some shlokas, maybe 5-6 shlokas on what is soul, what is body, beginning with Dehino Asmin, then the audience slowly go to sleep also. On the other hand, clear speech actually means one should eye contact. If you want to learn eye contact, you should learn from Jagannath. Jagannath's eye contact, you see. If you want to learn bodily gestures, you should learn from Gaur Nithai. They want to show how to surrender. They are not just saying with the mouth. They are showing practically. And if you want to be a cheerful speaker, you should learn from Vrindavan Chandra. How to be cheerful. So, the speaker has to be joyful in the knowledge that he is sharing with others. One should not give the knowledge because I am supposed to give a class today, Prabhu. I am supposed to give. All of you are supposed to sit and hear. Do you think the class will be interesting? It will be bored down. So we should be joyful with the knowledge we are learning because we believe it. We have faith in it. We relish it. We are repeating it. And we want to give this benefit to others also. So, and also, not only the eye contact, but also he speaks examples, analogies, which people can relate with. We have to go from familiar to unfamiliar. And here he says, he spoke even realizations. Realizations means what he has seen with his own eyes and experienced in his own life. Actually, personal realizations are the most powerful in reaching to the hearts of others. Of course, we can't give hundreds of personal realization because first of all, we need one to give others. Otherwise, we cannot give. But if somebody is a very good observer and very attentive, then the shastric information will not remain a theory for him. It will gradually become a tangible realization. In everyday life, he can see that the shastras are taking the form of action, practical action. Then one gets realization from the I have heard a lot of wonderful realization from Radha Gopinath Prabhu. He will give very humorously, he would narrate. Such a very deeply realized personality. So, King also spoke many nice realizations also. And also, in this way, his speech was appreciated by the Praja very much. Read the theme. The first one, seventh one.
Symptoms of a glorious speech.
Yeah, correct. So the speaker should be able to reach his sublime message to the audience. So success of any lecture where we go, at the end of the day, people should be able to carry home. I have already told, I'll again repeat it. There are four things in a speech. If you go to any public assembly, they give you 5 minutes to speak. So the first thing is, you give some interesting information, which is actually called entertain, we call it. Something very interesting which will catch their attention. Because generally people's minds are very diverse. They go here, there, everywhere. They are thinking about so many things. They are watching outside everywhere. So to draw all of them to one place, to the speaker, one should give some interesting information. Entertain. Then second is inform. Inform is the place where you give information on the topic. And thirdly, touch the heart. Touch their emotion. For which you have to tell some pastime or story from the scriptures, which will actually melt their heart. Because it is seen that more than intellect, when heart is touched, people take the information seriously. So not only we have to inform the information, but we have to touch the emotion by giving, for example, somebody saying, why don't you guys do social service? Why do you only preach Krishna consciousness? If somebody says, don't you know, the you are not the body, you are the soul. So would you save the drowning man or will you save his coat? His body is coat and you will save the man. Not that you catch hold of the kurta and only kurta comes out, man drowns. Similarly, we are doing service you know, not to the coat, which is bodily coat, material body, but you are saving the soul. You may say that. It's a very intellectually convincing example, correct, no? But at the same time, there is emotionally touching story. If you tell, people will be deeply touched. For example, if you ask the boy, Malhotraji in Pune invited Prabhupada to his home, and he asked the same question to Swami Prabhupada. You know, why are you building temple with marble and everything? Why don't you use this money for the poor people? And then Prabhupada told him, if Tata's son is roaming on the road as like a beggar with tattered clothes, and you happen to be friend of Tata, what you will do? Prabhupada asked him. Really? How can a rich man's son wander in the street? He asked. No. In case assume that he rebelled against his father and he's wandering in the street, he's suffering now. Say one man is giving him food, another man is giving him some medicine, another man is giving him clothes. Somebody is giving some, medicine for his wound or something. And he takes all those things and he still cries. And finally, you are coming in your car. You are watching that one man is picking up the boy and taking him to Tata and handing over the child back to the father. Out of this, who is best? Prabhupada asked. So this man said, oh, Swamiji, the last fellow was best. Because, putting a son, orphan son, back with the father, what can be a better service than that? And Prabhupada said, we are building temples only for that purpose, he said. In our temples, all people come, we connect them back to Krishna. And they go back home, back to Godhead. Then Malhotra became a devotee. That one example was enough for him. Then he became Prabhupada's follower. And from that day, he said he wore this, he wears $1 of Krishna in his chest. After meeting Prabhupada, he said, then I accepted Krishna as my master in my life. He said, now I will not be simply doing, he was doing social service a lot before. But after hearing this one example from Prabhupada, he wore Krishna and said, now Krishna is my master, I will not distribute anything without prasad, like that. So, in this way, so this story is touching the heart, correct, no? Touching the emotion. So Prabhupada told the story, you see. And then lastly, we should give a call for action. Call for action means personal application in our lives. We should not teach people something theoretical and leave them. We should ask them, how will you apply in our life? That is call for action. So, Prithu Maharaj also will give call for action. You will see that how he is speaking very sweetly to the people. And people found it beautiful, flowery, very clear and understandable, very great, great message you gave and meaningful. And without any doubt, aviklavam. And sarvesham upakarartham, it was beneficial to all people. That kind of message you gave. Like Krishna says, no, anudvega karam vakyam. Actually, we should not go to a public place and speak in a way agitating to others. Like imagine you go to some organization, their social welfare organization has called you for a lecture. You have to give. In the beginning only you say, all the social service is useless. Better surrender to Krishna. Tharvasmaan parityajya mamekam saranam. They will get wild on you. Correct, no? So, according to Deshkal Patra, one should know how to present, how to package the philosophy in a way they can appreciate it. So, he was very intelligent, Prithu Maharaj. Now he is going to speak. You see? Rajo vacha sabhyashrunata bhadramba sadavo ya iha gataha satsu jignyasu vir dharmam avedyam swamani manishitam.
King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls.
In his assembly were praja, citizens, and also there were demigods, there were sages, there were brahmanas. So all were present. So you will see that eventually how he treats the elders and respectable personalities like brahmanas and the sages and the demigods, and how he treats the praja, you will see as you proceed. But here itself you can see how he begins the talk. May all good fortune be upon you. So the king is like a father for the citizens. So he is like a father dealing with a son or daughter. He is calling, oh gentle members of the assembly. He's saying, sabhyaha, he's calling. Addressing the ladies and gentlemen. Shrinata, kindly hear. Badram Vaha, may there be good fortune to you. That is telling. One time, I was concluding my Utkarsh camp with one word. I said, you know, don't get bogged up by these rules and regulations and everything. Whatever we are teaching you is to ensure only one thing, and that all of every one of you sitting here, you go back home, back to Godhead. Immediately they clapped hands, chak, 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 chak. Because you can see the soul, the soul's consciousness, you know, it very much is wired for auspiciousness. It's wired for aligning with God. So when you speak something very auspicious, it touches the hearts of the souls. You can easily see that. And one should not speak anything amangal or inauspicious or threat or anything like that. So he knew the art of welcoming people. He is telling, may all good fortune be upon you. May all you great souls who have come at the meeting, you kindly hear my prayer attentively. He is requesting them. I am going to speak something. Please hear me attentively. Shrunu, he is saying. And then he is saying that the inquisitive person must put his decision before the assembly of noble souls. So you are all noble souls. So I am putting my points in front of you for your consideration. So he doesn't tell the assembly that just, you know, everybody note down and do what I am telling you. He is not saying. Like Vena said. Vena told the brahmanas, you are all unchaste fellows. You are not worshipping me, you are worshipping demigods. He condemned them. Whereas Prithu is telling, I am putting forth points for your consideration. Think about it. Purport is very important. Read it.
In this verse, the word sadhava, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies, for envy is the nature of materialist. In any meeting, there are different classes of men, and it is to be supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves.
So Prabhupada says, sometimes when a leader goes on doing great things and gets many achievements, people around him and people below him, these people sometimes fear whether we will become unnoticed, we will become unimportant. Therefore, in many places in Bhagavatam, one point is said that the king should save the praja from rogues and thieves and also from the ministers, it is said, who will misuse the public money and not make the money reach the king. You understand, huh? They may misuse. And also they may sometimes bully the praja for their own personal sense gratification. So the king has to protect the praja from not only rogues and thieves, he has to protect them from other so-called leaders also, bogus leaders also. And these are the bogus leaders he is talking here, who will be envious of the king. Because in the Mujikunda section, there is a statement which says that a king has imagined friends and real enemies, he says. The imagined friends means some people will smile at him and talk to him as if they love him very much, and they will wag their tail in front of him. But they look like friends. They are called what friends? Imagined friends. But they are actually real enemies. Because they are not well-wishers to the king. You know, sometimes there are histories which show that somebody killed the king because the minister wanted his son to become the king. So the minister hatched a plot to kill the king, and then, you know, arrested the king's son, put him behind the bars, and they made their own son into king. Or maybe the minister only became king. That has happened in India also, in some places. You heard about it? Prabhupada says in one purport, he says, Prabhupada says, so why, actually when king is highly respected, the people around feel that, oh, you know, he is like a moon and I am only like a star. Now I will become the moon and let him become insignificant. So this is envy only, he is saying. There is envy. Now how is it relevant to our lives? None of us are kings here. We are all simple devotees. But you will see that every one of us sitting here, you will become a leader in a small circle. Surely. Maybe small circle, big circle. Eventually as we grow. There will always be people who have genuine affection for you. Your genuine well-wishers. They may be right next to you, and they may... Such souls are very rare actually. and they'll be there. But there will also be people, you know, over a period of time, they will want to, you know, usurp your position. They will want to climb on your head. They will want to enviously do some harm, physical harm, or reputation harm. And there will always be people in this world. Can you imagine Prithu Maharaj, such a good king? You know, now you may have a question in mind. Prabhuji, he has no flaws at all. Then why should people be envious? Therefore, Prabhupada used to use the word simply envious. What envious?
Simply.
Like one devotee asked Prabhupada, in Los Angeles, you know, we have a beautiful temple of Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. And in our temple, there are 5-6 vehicles standing here. And devotees board the vehicles and go for Harinam and, you know, book distribution and coming. And devotees eat nice prasad. And they welcome all the people and they give them also free prasad also in a Sunday love feast and all that. And one devotee asked Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, why are the neighbors envious of us? That, you know, neighbors were watching and saying that, hey, these Hare Krishnas are chanting and dancing and they are getting big, big vehicles and they are eating nice food. So Prabhupada was telling, simply envious, like that he said. Simply envious, no reason only. Why they should be envious? Actually, ideally speaking, they are not supposed to be envious. But they become envious. Because that's the nature of law of material world. Some people become envious. So Prabhupada said two things about such people. He said, if you are envious of us, why don't you come and join us? You also become a Hare Krishna devotee. And you can also enjoy what we are enjoying. That's one answer he gave. Another answer Prabhupada gave was, you just ignore the envious elements and you go on with your Krishna consciousness. At the same time, sometimes the envious elements may put a stumbling block in propagation of Krishna consciousness also. Because sometimes people working under a king, there is a strong desire for taking away the credits. So, even in a ISKCON situation, or even in all of your situation as a department head or anything, for example, in those days, you know, when we were starting the temple, Kunjabari temple, when we started, you know, we had made different groups. A group of Matajis will take care of children preaching. Correct, no? Similarly, a group of Brahmacharis will take care of youth preaching, they will do that. And then we had a corporate circle, they will take care of corporate preaching. So, when we make groups like this, if we give attention to somebody more, and then you make somebody a leader, sometimes there will be a big, what do you call it, uproar. People feel that there is a tendency for taking credit. So it was very difficult to form groups and everything and eventually do the preaching. One time, even in youth preaching, in the very early days, the meeting would happen between six of us. One time, six of us were sitting, you know, the prominent senior devotees. And everybody will raise the hand and shout at the top of their lung because there was no leader. Even I was also not leader. In the early days, I was preaching. So one day, I told these senior fellows, hey, one of you become director and others will obey you. I said, so there was Krishna Kishore Prabhu, Jagavad Prabhu, Mukundanand Prabhu, and like that, there were about another 4-5 people, Sundar Krishna Prabhu, like that, there were 5-6 people. But I said, you have to give time and you have to give energy. You have to give your talent. You have to fully give for it. First, they tried choosing one of them, different people. I was thinking that I'm a brahmachari, they will do it. And then I will just support from behind. Finally, after a lot of heated arguments, everything, they said, Prabhu, you only be director, they said. I said, okay, no problem. Then I became director after that. Then I made one chairman of the committee every time. And because it helps me to know the minds of the youth preachers through someone else other than myself. Because what happens when you directly ask, nobody will reveal. But behind the back, they will say, oh, like that, they will say, correct, no? So you put now, I have been having one person next to me, like Antaradi Prabhu is there right now. Like that, many devotees. And I will go for the meeting in the beginning and end. Just chant Jayaradha Madhava, give one beautiful lecture. And then leave it to the chairman and he will do the meeting and everything. And he will come and tell me what happened in the meeting. At the end I go, I give answers to the questions and everything. And I speak something spiritual and go. And by doing this, what happens? You know, the people have a lot of freedom to open up, speak. So, anyone who is taking leadership, they should have a team of people who are able to express their opinions, their concerns, their desires for the project, to do something for everyone else. Otherwise, what will happen? They will bury the feelings. They want one thing to happen and you are doing opposite one. So they'll bury. One day will explode. You understand, no? Therefore, the king's job is a very tough job. Because one, another thing is the king gets enormous fame and name and respect, anyone who is in leadership position. You will see that any Maharaja comes, say you are in charge of one voice center, any senior devotee coming, they will say, so-and-so devotee and other devotees, they, like that they will say. You have seen, no? Say one of you, our Amshu Prabhu is preaching now in GGD. I go to GGD and say, Amshu Prabhu is doing wonderful preaching along with other brahmacharis. I say, correct, no? We may say like that. So one person is glorified in Vrindavan temple. There was one Narottama Ananda Prabhu. So he was head pujari for many, many years. Powerful dressing he would do, you know, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, everything. So there was one celebration, I think Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day, I think. So many sannyasis glorified him very much. He's also Prabhupada's disciple, Narottama Ananda Prabhu. So everyone glorified him. 4-5 sannyasis said, you have really made the deity department extraordinary in the whole world. Vrindavan dressing. You have seen how they celebrate the boat festival. If you have seen, you know, they would put a rope from here to here like this. And 4 triangles, there will be different flower petals put in water. And the petals will not shake at all. They will all remain in that place. So it will look like very nice designs will be arranged in water. By the time when Radha Shyam Sundar are brought, and after that when they go around, then only they'll remove the ropes. Very attractive festivals they celebrate. So when he was given the mic, he said, although so many people glorified me, I don't deserve all this glorification, he said. I am only glorified because of one reason, he said. I am like the tip of the iceberg, he said. Below the tip, under the water, there is a huge glacier. The glacier is not noticed by people. They only notice the tip outside, tip of the iceberg. So I made the head pujari, so I get all the glories. But actually the work is done by many, many people, he said. Everybody clapped hands. And this is one example of an ideal leader who does not grab all the credit for himself. And he doesn't fear sharing credit with others. And he heartily shares credit. So in this way, by these kind of behaviors, we can reduce the envy that is likely to crop up in the minds and hearts of other people. Like it is said, a leader should be, one who stands in the front with his open chest, allowing the people to throw the rotten eggs on his chest. And when bouquets are given, he should stick his neck out of the window to distribute the bouquets to others. He should not carry all the bouquets, you know. He's not able to carry only so much bouquets carrying, like then going to his room, keeping everything himself. He should share it with others. So, and Prabhupada was a very ideal leader. You will see, when all over the world he preached, then he made one sannyasi in charge of one continent only. In those days, he can, you take that continent, you take this continent. Now recently, Kaunteya Prabhu and Gaurang Prabhu, myself, we were sitting. Kaunteya Prabhu was telling that, how can one fellow manage a continent? So Prabhupada wanted to tell them that I am not holding everything with me. I am giving you. You take it. You take it, develop it, enjoy it. Prabhupada used to say like that. Like he told the Iswalna Jayapataka Maharaj in Mayapur, he said. So he gave them more empowerment than they can handle also. So much he gave. Of course, and then they all preached and they made devout disciples and sent to different parts of the continent. So here it is saying about some envious elements present even in the Prithu Maharaja's assembly. Read further. And what Prithu is doing, see. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with persons who were gentle. And therefore he first addressed all the honest persons, not caring for the envious. Which means, in case you find in your own department, in your own center, you are preaching somewhere, you are a leader, you will find that some people will be very affectionate to you. Some will be neutral to you. And some will be crossing you, envious of you, and pulling your leg. Both, all three types of people will be there. So, generally when you want to say something, as soon as you see those people who are crossing you, you look at them, then your enthusiasm will be dampened. You will say that, how can I say this? Ye to sunne wala nahi hai. Turant aat upar karega. As soon as I finish my point, he will raise the hand and oppose that point. Sometimes people think, if this one person, I can remove him. Then I can be peaceful. But actually, the more you try to remove that one person, it's like katmal, you know katmal? Katmal bed bug, you try to, you know, punch it and crush it, it will multiply in thousands. You know katmal? Bed bug. So that one person is posted by Krishna to purify us. That we should know. But if you try to crush them or try to remove them, the result will be that such elements will multiply. How many of you are understanding what I am saying? It's clear? Yeah. So therefore, one should not become afraid of such elements which may oppose your, you know, desire to do good activities. See, in this world, when you want to do good, there will always be opposing elements, forces, which will not like good. Or there will be compromising elements. So one should, therefore, what Prithumara is saying, like we say, the dogs bark, but the caravan passes, we say. Once a dog was barking, because across the riverside there was an elephant walking, majestically walking. But this dog was barking. And as the elephant was walking, the dog was also walking this side. Bah, 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 like that, he was going like this. And then the elephant crossed the bridge and came to this side. Now the dog became afraid. He's come to this side. So he ran some distance from there. He was looking behind and barking. But the elephant was majestically walking, moving his trunk. But elephant never cared for the bark. Correct, no? He just walked on. We do the same when we go in our sumo also. The dogs bark like anything in the morning. You've seen that? They come running with the sumo. But our driver goes very fast. And then dogs stop after that. He can't catch up with the sumo. Same thing we should do, he's saying. Don't get discouraged by the negative forces in an assembly. Like that he's telling. This is the lesson we learn. If you are going to pay attention to the negative forces, then you will not be able to bring out your real you. The real thing which you want to say, you will not be able to say. The negative elements will always be there. But then those who are gentle, those are honest persons, to them you speak, he says. Read further.
He did not, however, present himself as royal authority, empowered to command everyone. For he wanted to present his statement in humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble, meek and honest that he presented his statement for approval in order to clarify his mature decision. Everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of material nature and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all this, still like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, sages, saintly persons present there.
Yeah. Now here is another very important point. Just because there are people who are favorable to you and they are affectionate to you and they are yes men to you, whatever you say, they nod the head. If such kind of people are in your team, we cannot take them for granted. We have a tendency to take those people for granted and crush them more and more. Because whatever I say, they nod the head. Correct, no? So, here you will find Prithu Maharaj, although he is king of the world, he is presenting to those people who are gentle persons, honest persons, who are affectionate to the king. They like the king, they are anukul to the king. And then he is presenting in that assembly, but in a humble mode. He is telling them that these are my thoughts, I am presenting to you for your consideration. And I want to hear your opinion also. What do you feel about this? So he is giving them an opportunity to think and express themselves. Rather than thinking that, okay, leaving aside those envious persons, all others are nodding the head whenever I say anything. So I will say anything I want. Whatever I want. And I will, it's like, shape up or ship out, we say. You know this? You know, my way or highway, we call it. Either you do my way or you go to highway. So this my way, highway type of approach may be all right in the beginning when you have people who are yes men. Especially who are very tender, like parents sometimes, they can push the child to do something when the child is very small. For example, child is 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, they can threaten the child also and make things happen. So they can sometimes catch the child, slap the child, they can do all that. But imagine the boy has become 15 years or 18 years. He has grown beyond the shoulder of the parents also. Correct, no? At that time, if you try to push down things, then it will not be appreciated. Because by the time the children are grown up, they are thinking also. Now they have realizations also. They want to share also, and they have their following also, and they have their circles. So in such an assembly, when such people are there, therefore the king knows sages are present, brahmanas are present, demigods are present, And many of them are hero in their own place. They are all great personalities, great souls. They are deeply learned. You see, Sukadeva Goswami is presenting to Parikshit. Suta Goswami is presenting to Shaunakadi Rishis. And Suta Goswami was fully aware of this. He knew that Shaunakadi Rishi is already a guru of 88,000 sages. And guru is also sitting in the lecture. And therefore, Shaunakadi Rishi sometimes will speak 20, 30 verses himself also. He'll speak. Although he is a part of the audience. Sometimes you will see him. Question only contains 20 verses sometimes. Because he has a lot of realization also. So they are all internally alert. When the speaker is speaking, giving his example, they are remembering their example also. They are able to relate with the topic very well. So then the audience has to be respected. So here he is teaching us the art of conducting a meeting. And what will happen by taking this approach of humble submission before the assembly, instead of giving order, humble, meek and honest presentation. By this what will happen? Why is he presenting like this? The reason is given. The reason is, a leader generally tends to think, you know, I am perfect, I am smart, and I am always right. These are the wrong scripts of a leader. Because over a period of time, he sees success after success. When success comes, a leader can tend to think that I can never be wrong. I am always right. I am perfect, and I cannot have any holes. So, because he doesn't recognize that I also have four defects. Like other jivas have four defects. So therefore, this is one reason Prabhupada gives in the purport. What a leader should think about himself. I also have four defects, I may commit mistake. And that will make him humble enough to present his opinions humbly. And another thing is, when a leader presents his opinions and thoughts humbly for the assembly and gives them chance to think and express their opinions, like Lord Rama did with all the monkeys, correct, no? You know, while accepting Vibhishan into his army. Then what happens? The affection of the subordinates towards the king gets increased more. Because they feel that he knows everything. You know, we are simply, you know, we have no knowledge. What do we know? He knows everything. But still, because he is asking us to say, we will say. So the monkeys fell in love with Lord Ram even more because they were given a chance to express their opinion. Correct, no? So in this way, Prithu Maharaj teaches very... Read the theme, eighth theme.
Not presenting oneself as a royal authority, empowered to command everyone.
Yeah. So he didn't present himself like that, but he presented himself humbly. So the another point on the envy thing I have not added here as a theme. That means when envious elements are present, how one should not get bothered by them, but one should not unnecessarily worry about them, but one should present to those who are gentle and honest persons. Why I did not put in the theme here, I will tell you the reason. We should not unnecessarily imagine that somebody is envious of us. There is a possibility that we may imagine, hey, I think he is staring at me, he is envious of me. Hey, he doesn't talk to me sweetly, he is envious of me. Hey, this fellow, every time I make a point, he rebels, he is also envious of me. Then you will have nobody who is affectionate to you. All will be envious. So many times, people's behavior is because of our behavior. Actually, we may bring the worst out of people instead of bringing best out of people. Like Suruchi brought worst out of Dhruva. And Suniti brought best out of Dhruva. And both are mothers. One mother is bringing worst behavior. Similarly, we also as a leader may behave in a certain way by which we may bring worst out of people. Possible, no? So then you may say, hey, he is showing worst behavior, therefore he is envious. Is that correct? No, we have made them behave the way they are behaving. So therefore, we should not take this point too seriously. We should in generally assume, in case somebody has not openly expressed his envy, we can, like, there was one devotee who was very silent devotee, very shy devotee. And he would look also a little rough and tough. He would look like that. So his Achodi came. In his department, they had about 10-15 people. He said, Prabhuji, that fellow never talks to me, and the way he looks, you know, he looks very arrogant and harsh, you know. I think, you know, he's envious of me. Then I told him, Arey, that person is the person who loves you the most in the whole team. Huh? Because that devotee is very poor in communication. Yeah. But when I meet the devotee, he tells me how happy he is in the team, and he tells so many glories of his leader. But he doesn't know how to go to the leader and express himself. or to express to others. He is not a very talkative devotee. So by external looks, we should not judge people. We should not judge somebody who may be envious. We should assume that all devotees are wonderful. And I should give them... So not only the leader should be a hero, he should make every member of his team also a hero. Therefore, a leader is one who produces leaders. If a leader is one who says, "Main karke dikhaunga sab taali bajao," he is not a leader. Correct, no? Imagine Lord Ram says, "See my mystery, see my magic. Abhi India se Lanka ka ek pull bana kar dikhaunga." Sab bandar aise hi dekh rahe hain sab. Bhagwan, Lord Ram does. And then, one bridge comes. Beautiful bridge. Not even made of stones. Made of all metal, just like you see in Calcutta. What is that bridge? Howrah bridge, hanging bridge. Lord Ram makes a hanging bridge like a rainbow. Tsh, makes. And all the monkeys are saying, "Kya badhiya bana diya Bhagwan." And Lord Ram is asking, "Sab logo kaise laga?" All monkeys are saying, "Acha laga. Taali bajao sab." Everyone is clapping hands. Imagine if Lord Ram did that, he won't be an empowering leader. Correct, na? He is such an empowering leader. He is asking monkeys, "Can you please make a bridge for me to go to Lanka?" Then monkeys are telling the Lord, "My dear Lord, you relax. Hum log karenge." Then they take the boulder and they make a bridge. Lord Ram is very happy. So the sambandha between Ram and our monkeys became very thick because of that. Correct, na? So in this way, lot of valuable lessons you learn from Prithu's meeting the people in this chapter. Aham danda dharo raja prajanam iha yojitah rakshita vrittida sveshu setushu sthapita pritak. See, he is saying, "Aham danda dharo raja." I carry the punishing rod of the king, which means I am not always the king. Right now, just like the Olympic torch is given to somebody, you carry some distance and you hand it over to another person. Similarly, right now, the dandadara, I am a dandadara. That means if I am holding this rod, that means I am made as a king right now. And I have full knowledge that, you know, there was a king before me and there will be kings after me. But right now, I am given this. He understands this. And then prajanam, for the prajas, iha yojitaha, I have been appointed by Lord's grace, he is telling. This is another symptom of a great soul. He doesn't think that I am a great soul, I am myself a great soul who has descended from the sky. He doesn't think like that. He knows that Lord has appointed me as the king. And then he is saying, rakshita vrittidaha sveshu. He is saying that, "Why have I been appointed for all of you, O Prajas? To rakshita, to protect you from all danger. And vrittidaha." Vrittidaha means to give you employment and give you salary. Because all of you are Praja, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, I will appoint you all in Varnashrama and I'll give you engagement. When you fulfill the engagement, you will get your remuneration, everything. Sveshu, Setushu, Sthapita, Pritak. According to your positions, sve sve karmani abhirataha. Correct, no? Like that he is telling. For all the respect to social orders. Therefore, I have come as a king to do this service to all of you. Like that he is saying. Read 23.
Maharaj Prithu.
See, Prabhupada writes in the purport, second line. Okay, read the first and second line. A king is purport.
Purport. A king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Look after interest of his particular planet. On every planet, there is a predominating person. Just as we now see that in every country, there is a president. If one is president or king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by Supreme Lord. According to Vedic system, a king is considered representative of Godhead and is offered respects by the citizens as God in the human form of life.
Yeah, Prabhupada used to say the president of sun planet is Vivaswan. Like that Prabhupada used to say, the president of Satyaloka is Brahma. Like that Prabhupada used to say. So that means a person is appointed by the Lord according to the Vedic wisdom. And every place, Prabhupada says in every country there is a prime minister, president, king. Like that he says like that. Yeah. So therefore, the king should not think that he became king on his own by his qualifications. A king may have skills, capabilities, qualifications, but unless the Lord sanctions, he cannot become the king. Therefore, he is mentioning this. How many of you have seen there are boys who are highly talented, fit to join IIT, but they could never join IIT in their lives? You have seen people like that, no? You will see like that, huh? There are people. On the other hand, sometimes you wonder how this fellow came into IIT. Sometimes you see people also, correct, no? So the Lord's sanction is very important. Huh? The 23rd.
Maharaj Pratu said, I think that upon the execution of my duties as king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objectives described by experts in Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of all destiny.
Yeah. So, in that if you go 10 lines below in the purport, Prabhupada writes, it is not that, right? After 8-10 lines, yeah. Okay.
It is not that if one executes his duty properly, he is automatically promoted.
Okay, we will read one more sentence here. After 5-6 lines, Prabhupada is saying that a responsible king you can read from there.
A responsible king who executes his appointed duty by giving proper protection to all living entities on his planet is promoted to heavenly planetary system. This is also dependent upon the pleasure of Supreme Lord. It is not that if one executes his duty properly, he is automatically promoted. For promotion depends upon the satisfaction of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
See, this is a very important point. See, demigods, if you worship them, certain amount of pujas you do, they are obliged to give you. Whatever punya you did accordingly. Whereas Krishna is not like that. With Supreme Lord, you, even if you do your quota of duty, Lord may or may not give according to His will and wish. So that's not in our hand. We can't control. Therefore, he's saying like that. Here. So a king should recognize this fact that it seems that Lord wants me to do this service. He has appointed me. Just like, for example, you know, when I became president in 1997 in Pune, here, in the Kunjibari temple, and it's there. So, why did I become president? Because both the GBCs called me and they told me that, you know, can you take up this responsibility? We'll be very thankful if you do this. And then I said, I joined in 1994 in Bombay. Just 3 years had passed. Generally, in ISKCON, after 15 years you stay, 10, 15 years, then one is made a TP or something, generally. So I was telling, I'm unqualified. For this, you know, at least I want to learn some things before. I want to study Bhagavatam nicely before taking up some position. They said, no, as of now, there is nobody, you know, and somebody has to run the show. Krishnanandpur was the president for 1 year. 1 or 2 years he was there. And then they said that he's going to do traveling preaching. He's not going to be here. So you take up that. So there is not a single document which they gave me that, you know, from this particular day, here is appointment order that Radhesham Das will be TP of Pune, you know, and then you carefully take the appointment order and keep it in your, like people keep their certificates. Correct, no? People give, no? Generally, you give certificates. And then you have the record of experience of so many years of being TP. Why? Because the relationship is a spiritual relationship. In spiritual relationship, you don't have to demand an appointment order to work. The only reason why I work is because I want to please them. I want to please my GBCs and I want to please Prabhupada. Therefore, we work. So, similarly, a king also should know when he's appointed, he actually should know that I am going to act for the pleasure of my superiors. That is the only reason. There is no other reason. So, similarly, any of us, we are made leader in any particular area and department. At least in our organization, we don't give any letters. Correct, no? Have you seen appointment orders? You are appointed to become the head of kitchen. Or you are appointed to become the head of this voice. We don't do that. Of course, for voice, we do one program where we have empowerment program. We put garland. And one empowerment is Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. That's our empowerment. Isn't it? And because we are not going to use this position to fight in the court. Correct, no? Outside world, you can take your experience and prove your experience and all that. Whereas in devotional life, everything is transcendental. So, in this way, you will find Prabhupada appointed presidents in different parts of the world also. And presidents are reporting to Prabhupada how they are faring in their temples. So, Prabhupada would go around to the temples to see how the temples are faring. How the morning program is, how the preaching is and everything. So, They had no Prabhupada disciples and all. They took services only to see a smile on Prabhupada's face. There was no other goal actually. So therefore, one should not be very proud of this service, because if we become proud of leadership service, then that will spoil the whole show. Because we should know that this service is given despite my lack of qualification, when I was completely unqualified, and I did something whatever best I could in my period I have done, and I am submitting it for that pleasure. So one should not take this leadership given to us. So therefore, nowadays they are introducing the term servant leadership everywhere. Like they have the ILS, ISKCON Leaders Sangha in Mayapur happens. So when people hear the word leader, 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 then they get wired to think that I am a leader, correct, no? Sometimes the Gurukul children in Mayapur, they talk about leader, correct, no? When you ask questions about that. So sometimes if we are given the consciousness that we are a leader, then that itself can become the cause of false pride. So therefore the word servant leader is used. Servant leader means we are leader to serve. There is no other purpose. We are supposed to serve the people in our care. That means, how do you serve? You are approachable, you are available, you are responsible, you are accountable, you are concerned about their welfare, you are developing what is given to you. If a father gives a son 5 lakh rupees, after 5 years he says, Papa, now I have 25 lakhs now. He's developed the business and he's giving back, correct, no? Similarly, we are supposed to develop spiritually, spiritually and in all respects, economically, and the number of devotees and spiritual ambience, everything has to be developed. And then it is done as for the pleasure of the superiors and service of the subordinates. So it is done in a mood of a servant leader. So Prithu Maharaj had that exact type of attitude when he took up leadership. Next one. See, now let us finish the themes. You read the eighth theme.
Not presenting oneself as a royal authority. That is it. Authority, empowered to command everyone. Recognizing the grace of Supreme Lord. Promotion not by performance, but by Lord's satisfaction.
Performance also may be needed for promotion, but performance alone cannot be considered the criteria for, for promotion. If somebody, in companies also you find, sometimes a subordinate, pampers the boss. He puts soap, we call it. What do you call putting soap? Putting butter? Flattering, yeah. So subordinate flatters the boss and he gets promotion. On the other hand, somebody genuine has really done a good job in the company. He has done a lot of valuable work in the company, but he doesn't get promotion. Correct, no? Of course, ultimately, Lord is watching everything happening in this world. So promotion is not only based on performance. It's based on the sanction of the Lord, like that he is telling. Translation.
Any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashrama, but who simply exacts tolls and taxes from them, is liable to suffer for the impious activities.
This we already read before also. Actually, he knew this, so he's speaking this. It's because Lord Vishnu told him, correct, no? See, he heard from Vishnu, and now he's telling the praja. Because Vishnu told him that if a king collects taxes, but he does not do good to the praja, then he gets 1/6 of their karma. Correct, no? Lord told him. Now he remembered it. Now he's telling the praja like this. See, in the middle of that purport, read it. For example.
For example, if one eats in a place which is very sinful, he shares in this resultant reaction of the sinful activities performed there. It is a Vedic system, therefore, for a householder to call Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat at ceremonial performances in his house, because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas can immunize him from sinful activities. But it is not the duty of rigid Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to accept invitations everywhere. There is, of course, no objection to taking part feast in which prasadam is distributed.
See, now you may wonder, Grihasthas are told that you should invite brahmachari sannyasis to home, that is your dharma. And then Prabhupada says, the brahmachari sannyasis, it's not that if somebody invites you, you have to go. Now you wonder, how is it if they keep inviting and we keep don't going, then how will prasadam happen? Correct, no? So, therefore, these kind of statements in the Shastra may be bewildering. Now Brahmachari Sannyasi, out of fear of getting sinful reaction, if they say that we will not go to anybody's house, we will not eat at all, if they say like that, that's not what the Shastras are saying. One should occasionally go, occasionally go and accept. But one should increase one's spiritual substance in such a way that they will be able to burn away the reactions. When they go to somebody's home and accept prasad, do sankirtan, do some pravachan, enlighten the people and then elevate them, so then the job is done. So read the heading, theme.
If one eats in a place, he shares a sinful activities performed there.
Yeah, that is the point. He says here. Let's go to the 24th. One more theme I have written. Read the theme.
Leaders who levy taxes without discharging their duty to citizens share the sinful activities of impious masses.
Yeah, correct. Next theme, you read it.
Result of an action is shared by its doer, director and its supporter.
That is explained in 26. Read the 25 translation.
Prithu Maharaj continued, therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly.
See, for the welfare of your king, he is saying. That means, you know, by your doing Varnashrama and offering to Vishnu, I will be saved from going to hell. Like that he is telling. Amazing point that is. So, Praja will feel pity for the king. Bechara, you know, we will commit sin and he will suffer. So, and as I told you yesterday also, gurus and Shiksha gurus also, their subordinates, if they are not up to the mark, they should not offer them shelter. Like one boy wrote a mail to me saying that, Prabhu, I am suffering from all types of bad habits, especially watching bad sites in the internet. And my counselor is a very good soul. Several times he sympathetically called me and advised me. But what can I say? Despite his instruction and order to me, I am going on watching. Then I wrote to him, throw away your smartphone. Take a button phone. Simple button phone, I said. Then he is writing back saying, Prabhuji, I am only worried. How can I give it up? Because I have been using it for the last 4 or 5 years. I have become attached to it. Can you give some other solution, Prabhu? He asked me. So then I wrote to him, see, you neither follow your counselor nor follow me. You're not following anyone. Then I say, you stay out. Go and stay out on your own. Be independent. Then he cried out, he wrote to me, Prabhuji, association, I want association of devotees. I said, what is the use of association? You are not following what you are learning. But what will happen to my prasadam, Prabhu? Then I said, you will get prasad. Come to our center, you take prasad, but you stay out. And I told his counselor, don't give him shelter. Because if you give shelter to a sinful person who is not hearing good instruction, not trying to improve, then you will also fall down along with him. Because that person is drowning in water. And if you give your hand, what will happen? He will drag you into the water. You will also go down. And therefore, some of the brahmacharis come and share with me that when their counselees come and share their dirty leelas, what they have done, the leader's mind also gets disturbed by hearing such dirty things. Because these people don't, even if you give good instruction, they don't follow at all. Then, like one rotten apple will spoil all other apples. So better that you keep them nearby somewhere out. And then we don't want to ditch them, but we give remote support to them. You can come and take prasad. If you want to attend morning program, you can attend, but you have to stay separate. So by if you, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they can give shelter to Jagaya Madaya also. And do you know what happened when Mahaprabhu gave him shelter and made him chant and dance? The whole body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became blackish. So the Gaur Sundar became Shyam Sundar. He became exactly like Krishna. And all Vaishnavas were shocked. They were looking at teacher, what is this? Because the sinful reactions were taken. If you give shelter, same thing happens. And all that fellow, and that fellow says, Prabhu, you are my master, you are my Prabhu. You know, whatever, you know, I am, it's all your mercy only. Then he'll dump all his thing on you and you give him shelter. So therefore you should tell him, oh really, I am your Prabhu, you are accepting me as your mentor, then do what I am telling you. Sin no more, Mahaprabhu told them. What he said? Sin no more. And then he looked around at Vaishnavas and said, today onward, Jagaya Madaya have become lovers of Krishna, lovers of God. So if any Vaishnava anywhere or any other non-devotee also, if they criticize Jagaya Madaya for their old past sinful habits, So this blackish sense will go into them. They will go to them. The next moment, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Gaur Sundar again. So Mahaprabhu can take Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo. Can we do this? Very tough job. We are ourselves in doldrum. So therefore, that point was mentioned. 26, you read it?
I request all the pure-hearted demigods, forefathers and saintly persons to support my proposal. For after death, the result of an action is equally shared by its doer, its director and its supporter.
See, three people. Like I told you the one example, no? That somebody is giving a big donation in a temple but he is doing sinful activities to the person and that sadhu is unable to correct him. I said, so that person who is doing sinful activities is doer. Correct, no? And who is directing him to do this sinful act? Say that particular person who with whom he is indulging, that person is pulling him, although this fellow is married and has children. So that person is directing him to do sin. Or maybe his own mind like that. And who is its supporter? This sadhu. All three will be victimized by sin. Correct, no? It becomes very clear. And therefore, we should not support sinful activities. Sometimes people used to wonder that why Radhesham Das is so strict about avoidance of sinful activities. Because sinful activities will make our spiritual life sluggish. We cannot progress very easily. It will slow down. It's like carrying a heavy bag. When you're carrying a heavy suitcase, some people carry, you've seen that, heavy luggage. It's very difficult to move forward. So sinful reactions which our subordinates may put on us, it'll slow down our spiritual life. So we have to be so intensely spiritual that we burn away all those reactions. Read the purport.
The government of Ritu Maharaj was perfect because it was administered exactly according to the orders of Vedic injunctions. Prithu Maharaj has already explained that the chief duty of government is to see that everyone executes his respective duty.
That means Varnashrama. Yeah.
The government should be so conducted that automatically one is elevated to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, Brahmachari should do their Brahmachari duties. Grihastha should do Grihastha duties. At a right time, people should retire and take Vanaprastha. And the sannyasi should travel around giving inspiration, spiritual strength to everybody. And then everybody should have their occupational and duty. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. In this way, then they all should offer their fruits of their activities to Lord Vishnu. So that he... So read the theme here.
Result of an action is shared by its doer, director and its supporter.
Yeah. And one more you read, 14.1.
Establishing absolute truth authoritatively.
In the 27th verse, read the translation.
My dear respectable ladies and gentlemen, according to authoritative statements of Shastra, there must be a supreme authority who is able to award the respective benefits of our present activities. Otherwise, why should there be persons who are unusually beautiful and powerful both in this life and in the life after death?
Now logically he is going to present the absolute truth. The first statement he is making to Praja is, he is saying if somebody gets promotion in a company, there must be a promotion awarder. Correct, no? Somebody says, good luck. They say, okay, good luck. But there should be a good luck awarder. Everything is pre-arranged. Prabhupada said, you know, we have arrived in a train to this spot for giving a program. And that's a pre-arrangement. We have booked the train ticket in advance and we came. Nothing happens by chance. Chapati doesn't come by chance when you take lunch time. There's some hard work has gone in. So, similarly, he is telling all the people, nothing, not that in this world beautiful men and women are roaming by chance. You know, because they are not simply a lump of flesh. They have beauty also. He is saying, some people are ugly, some are beautiful. Some people are rich, some are poor. Some are highly educated, some are illiterate. You remember in our device 1 we show this? If everything, even insensible matter follows, you know, certain behavior like parabolic behavior, hyperbolic behavior, exponential behavior and all that. If insensible matter is following laws, how can living persons in this world with variegated beauty and ugliness and rich and poor, these differences exist without a superior plan? There must be a pre-arrangement. Like that, that's the first argument he is presenting here. Read it. Read the purport. Very important. Yeah.
Prithu Maharaja's sole aim in ruling his kingdom was to raise the citizens to the standard of God consciousness. Since there was a great assembly in the arena of sacrifice, there were different types of men present, but he was especially interested in speaking to those who were not atheist. It has already been explained in the previous verses that Prithu Maharaj advised the citizens to become Adokshajadhiya, which means God conscious or Krishna conscious. And in this verse, he specifically presents the authority of Shastra, even though his father was number one atheist who did not abide by the injunctions mentioned in the Vedic Shastras.
And then he had stopped all the yajnas and the brahmanas became disgusted. And the Prabhupada says, atheistic men don't believe and all that he is saying. You know, and then below Prabhupada is saying, they believe only in matter and hold that matter under certain conditions of amalgamation gives rise to living force. Therefore Prabhupada wrote that book, Life Comes From?
Life
and all that. So, and then as you go below, Prithu Maharaj suggested that theistic men will solidly reject the views of the atheists on the grounds that there cannot be many varieties of existence without the plan of superior intelligence. It's called intelligent design. We say, not teleological approach. Intelligent design. That's what he is presenting. And in the second paragraph, Prabhupada is condemning the Mayavad theory, because some people may ask, okay, well, we do our duties, varna and all that, but then why worship Vishnu? What is the reason, they may ask, correct, no? So therefore, Prabhupada is saying that in the later part, about 15 lines from the bottom of the end of the report, Prabhupada is saying, the dangerous Mayavad theory, read it.
The dangerous Mayavad theory set forth by the Shankaracharya that God is impersonal does not tally with the injunctions of Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore described the Mayavadi philosophers as the greatest offenders against the personality of Godhead. According to Vedic system, one who does not abide by the orders of Vedas is called Nastika or atheist. When Lord Buddha preached his theory of non-violence, he was obliged to deny the authority of Vedas, and for this reason, he was considered by the followers of Vedas to be Nastik. But although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly enunciated that the followers of Lord Buddha's philosophy are Nastikas or atheist, because of their denial of the authority of Vedas, he considered Shankarites who wanted to establish Vedic authority by trickery and who actually followed the Mayavad philosophy of Buddha's school to be more dangerous than Buddhists themselves.
Yeah, see, when Shankaracharya came, what he did, all over India, Ashoka was ruling. So he made whole India Buddhist, correct, no? So Shankara, when he came, he saw that Vedas are rejected by people, Brahmanas are rejected. He wanted to re-establish Vedas. So he thought that if I present Krishna as the absolute truth, you know, nobody will accept, because now everybody is an atheist at that time. So he said the absolute truth is impersonal, because impersonal God is accepted even by many scientists also. They say there is some energy beyond, you know, which is making all these things, you know, in which the whole universe is sustained. So one thing he did was presenting God as impersonal. At the same time, he also established many temples in Badrinath, Kedarnath, Badrinath, Badrivishal. In that Badrinath place, he has established a matha. Kanchipuram, he established a matha. Shringeri and Puri. Where is the fifth place? Dwarka, five places. So now people ask, then why are you worshipping the forms of the Lord? For that, what he said below, Prabhupada says, if you go below, 5-6 lines below, after this, what we read, trickery, below that, the Shankarite philosopher's theory that we have to imagine a shape of God is more dangerous than denial of existence of God. Not to explain, see, they have Panchopasana, they call it. What is Panchopasana? Worshipping Surya, worshipping Ganesh. So worshipping Surya are called Shauryas. Worshipping Ganesh are called Ganapatyas. Worshipping Shakti are called Shaktas. Worshipping Shiva are called Shaivas. And worshipping Vishnu are called Vaishnavas. But that Vaishnava is not our Vaishnava. So these five types of worship, he said, take these five murtis in your home, you keep it and worship. And then when you become liberated, you merge into Brahman, you become God. You know, when you emerge into Brahman, and then you don't need to do any more Murti Puja, and no more mantras you have to chant, nothing else you have to do, just Aham Brahmasmi, you will realize this. And that was attractive for the people at that time. Those people said, oh, really? So this Murti will help us to become God. Huh? Because they all thought, anyway, God is not there. We are only God, everybody was thinking. And after Buddha's preaching. So they thought, Shankara is not saying anything much different from what Buddha said. It's nicely matching. So just like we go to college, we tell little scientifically how is Krishna consciousness, people immediately accept, no? In the same manner, he atheistically presented the truth. Atheistically presented the Vedas. So he had to mix little bit of this atheism in the Vedas to make the Vedas acceptable. In that sense, acceptance is good. But Prabhupada is condemning it. Why? Because Panchapasana people, what they will do, like Ganesh, they will worship him. After 1 week, they will put him in the water, dubuk. Put him, what do you call it? Visarjan. Correct, no? Why Visarjan? Because now I have become liberated now. Ganesh can go to underwater and throw him. Therefore, they do Visarjan. You will find the worshippers of Kali, worshippers of Shakti, or worshippers of Ganesh, they all do this Visarjan. Why the Visarjan? Main reason is because they think Murti Puja should be done for some time. And when you become, when you come out of Sima Sapnam, or when you come out of conditioning, then you don't need that anymore. This kind of thing he taught, which Prabhupada strongly condemns. Correct, no? This is a covered atheism. It's like you go to drink, a cow goes to drink water in a pond. Imagine, he sees another cow, he wants to share some talk with him. Suddenly he finds the cow, throws away the skin and comes out, tiger. If a tiger is wearing a cow skin, that is more dangerous than an actual tiger. Correct, no? Similarly, Buddhism is like tiger, and impersonalism is like cow skin covered tiger. Like that. Therefore, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschata. So Prabhupada established deity forms in America, you know, in many places, in order to teach people how the Sri Vigraha is non-different from the Lord. It's not a temporary worship. Do you think any time our devotees worship Krishna for some time and throw Krishna into the water? Visarjan, do we ever do? So you will see that because this is true Vaishnavism. That's what Prabhupada is making that point. In this way, we will read the last para and then we will conclude. Actually, in the next page here, if you see here, from here you leave all this and here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Purushottama, or the best of all living entities. He is a person like all other living entities. But he is a leader of all. Nitya, Anitya, Nityanam, he is saying. He is complete and full. He has no need to derive benefit by interfering with the affairs of other living entities, but because he is maintainer of all, he has the right to bring them to proper standard. And then he's saying, a father wants all of his children to become happy under his direction. Similarly, Krishna has the right to see all living entities happy. So, we all cannot become happy unless we please. Unless the children please the father, they cannot be happy. That's the point. When we do yajna and everything, we do it for Lord's pleasure. Because if we make the father happy, children can be happy. That's the point he says. So, we will... And then Prabhupada says here, if you leave this whole page and come here, the different varieties of life and of material existence do not come about by chance and necessity. There are different arrangements made by the Lord. One can have a beautiful body or can become well educated, very rich and all that. So this is about arrangement he is talking. So that is the theme we have written there. Establishing the absolute truth authoritatively. So 14th theme is over. When we come back, Shri Prabhupada ki.